Man was walking down the street one day. He fell in the hole. He came down the street the next day. He fell in the hole. He came down the street the next day. He fell in the hole. The next day, he walked down the street on the other side and was all right. See, at what point do you learn that there's a hole in the street and that you got to make other plans, that you got to take an alternative route, because if you keep going down this road, you're going to end up in the hole time after time again. The fool, what does the fool believe? He believes in persisting in foolishness.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his message titled, What the Fool Believes. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of What the Fool Believes.
That they will argue about anything. And then when I got saved, guess what they wanted to argue about? The Bible. All these questions about the Bible, I try to explain it to them, and then they want to argue why this is not true, why that's not true. I just came to the point. I remember my aunt saying to me on one occasion, y'all know my nickname, right? Yeah. She said, Bundy, don't go in there and start anything with him. Why? Because she didn't want us. She wanted to have a good Memorial Day, a good Labor Day, you know. And she knew that if we got into it, that was going to be it for the rest of the time. Because all he wanted to do was argue. And the scripture says that it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. That, you know, once you make your point and you have made your point clear, the scripture says to cease from strife, to let the argument go. But, you know, some people want to consist on, you know, I find that, you know, there are some people that have to prove their point. And they're going to argue their point until they take their point and they beat you down with their point, right? And then that's not enough because they already got your point. They might not agree with it, but they already got your point. But they're going to beat you down. And then once they beat you down, then they're going to do the river dance on you, right? Because it's just in their nature to argue. Now, again, I refer back to Mr. T. And here goes some good advice from Mr. T on those who want to be argumentative. If you'll put it up there. You had it. Shut up, fool. Mr. T, man, he was a theologian, right? we didn't know it, but he was a theologian. His advice is once you've said what you got to say, then shut up, fool. Yeah, because if you continue to talk, you know, you're just kind of putting yourself out there as, you know, nah, I already understood what you said. Again, I might not agree with it, but I understood. I got your point. But some people, you know, just continue on. They want to continue on to prove a point. I'm like this, man. Once I said what I got to say, then that's it. You know, let's roll. But, you know, it's in some people's nature to be what he calls here, a e-will, right? But every fool will be argumentative, will continue on. And, you know, I think husbands and wives could learn a lot here, too. That, you know, I often wonder why a husband or wife will continue to say something to the other person. Now, again, there are some things that need to be said, so I'm not minimizing that, okay? Not minimizing that at all. But there are some things, I think, that once that person has heard what you said and understands what you said, and evidently if they don't agree with what you said, then why do you keep on beating the point down? I mean, again, that's not Bible, that's not theology, that's Pastor Glaze. So you can take that for what it's worth. So I always try to delineate between the word and what I think, but that's what I think. And so we see here that the fool believes in being argumentative. The next thing is that the fool believes there is nothing wrong with committing evil deeds. It says in Proverbs 10:23, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding have wisdom. That word sport means it's like laughter. It's like, yeah, you know, they do wrong and they laugh about it. And again, we all know people like that. I mean, you know, people who are morally corrupt and they see morally degenerate things and they make sport of it. They laugh about it. You know, whether it's illicit sex or it's a perversion of pleasures, the fool makes light of it. The fool makes sport of it and don't see anything wrong with it. You know, how is it that, you know, we make light and we make sport of people who are involved in immorality? You know, and from the standpoint, not that we are trying to cheer them on, but from the standpoint that we think it's all right. We think it's funny. You know, when people are caught up in immorality, the Bible says that's the fool. The fool thinks that way. And that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to be, you know, kind of careful. And, you know, I like a good laugh just as much as the next guy. But sometimes, you know, we might have to be a little more discerning as to what we're laughing at. Because, you know, if it's wrong and if it's evil, and we're laughing in an approving way, then there's a problem there. So he believes there is nothing wrong with committing evil deeds. Then the fool believes he knows everything. The fool believes that he knows everything. And in this, you know, we see Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Could be dead wrong. Going down the road that's wrong, thinking something that's wrong, doing the wrong thing, and think they're right. This is why I believe that everybody should have somebody they can have a check and balance with. Because if you left to your own thoughts sometimes, you know, we can make decisions just because this is what we think, or this is how we feel. And so we feel that everything that we know about a situation is right. And so we make decisions based on what we see, how we see it, and the way that we think, and we don't try to consult anybody else to kind of get some input to say, look, is my thinking right here? You know, am I thinking the right thing? You know, one of the things that I do, you know, especially when it comes to this church, that if there's something that I feel the Lord telling me to do, one of the first things that I do is at the next deacon's meeting, I bring it up. I say, guys, look, this is what I'm thinking about. And what are your thoughts? Because I know that, I mean, I would like, hey, you know, this is Pastor Glaze. You know, he's the pastor. You know, God is speaking to him. I understand all that, but I understand that I am Pastor Glaze, right? That I'm a man. And so, you know, there's other people that God has filled with the spirit of wisdom and discernment, and that there are things that I might need to run by them so that I can get their input to see what they think. And, you know, it's a blessing to have that support system and know that there are people who are walking with God that you can sit down and you can run some things that you're thinking by them, and that they're going to give you input not based on their own agenda, not based on the way they feel, but based on what the Word of God has to say. And so a person is a fool if they think that they know everything. You know, it's just like back in the day before we went to this electronic age, there was a father who had a notice in the post office. And it said, brand new set of encyclopedias for sale. Never used before. And somebody said, well, why are you selling them? He said, because I bought them for my son, but he already knew everything. Already knew everything, right? So, you know, that's what Proverbs said. You know, Proverbs says, the fool thinks that he knows everything. Let me wind this down. As we look at the fool, he believes it is all right to express his anger in unhealthy ways. He believes that it's all right to express his anger in unhealthy ways. Proverbs 12 and verse 16 says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth his shame. That a wise person, it doesn't say that he doesn't get angry. It doesn't say that he doesn't have angry feelings. but it says that he knows how to handle his anger. In Ephesians, Paul said, be angry. Somebody help me out. And sin not. Be angry and sin not. How do I sin when I get angry? If I cuss somebody out, I've just sinned as a result of my anger. If I punch somebody out, then I've just sinned as a result of my anger. What Paul is saying is that when you get angry, you need to learn how to control your anger. And that if you don't know how to control your anger, then you, my friend, are a fool. You're a fool. And you know, it's very clear that we can do this. I mean, and we do it all the time. And I've given this example here before, but I'll give it again. And that is, you can be into some intense fellowship with your husband or wife, right? And then the phone rings, and you do one of them JJ on Good Times, right? Now, you don't just got finished being intense fellowship, right? And you answer the phone, cello. You know, so, you know, what have you done? You've controlled your anger. You've channeled your anger. You still, you know, nothing has changed. You are still angry, but you've learned how to control it. And Proverbs says that the wise man knows how to control his anger. But the fool, it says, his wrath is presently known. That everybody, when the fool gets mad, everybody knows the fool is mad. Fool slams doors. Fools kicks the cat. Fools drive speed off. You know, I'll never understand that. People get mad, and they get in their car and like that, spin out. Now, you're getting ready to hurt somebody else now. Right? I had it happen to me one time. Somebody got mad at me and got in their car and sped off. What point did you just not prove? You know? You still mad. You haven't changed my mind from what we got in. But now there's a possibility if somebody was out, you could have hurt them. So you need to learn how to control your anger. If you don't know how to control your anger, then the scripture is very clear that you are a, let me get the Hebrew word. You are a Ewill. You are a fool. All right. Next, the fool believes there's no God. Psalm 14:1, Psalm 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Nabal, the one who is void of understanding, the one who does not know how to reason. The Nabal has said in his heart, there is no God. And there's a whole lot of people that don't believe there's a God. You know, I don't see how you can look at the creation. When we were in Hawaii, my wife said to me on several occasions, when we were on the Waikiki at the beach, and we looked out at the blue water, and how that the blue water and the blue sky just came together, and there was like a fine line that just separated them. And she said, how can you say there's no God? How can you look at that and say there's no God? Then we went up into the mountains in Hawaii, where it rained all the time up in these mountains. And this rain never came to certain parts of the island. And the writer of Psalm says, who is it that tells the rain to stop and tells it to continue on? There must be a God. How can the fool look at creation and realize that there's no God? You know, there is what theologians call the teleological argument. And basically, all that says is that because there is order and arrangement in the universe, shows that there's a divine mind behind it. For instance, let me give you a perfect example. You came in this morning. All these chairs were set up, so many in each row, so many rows. Why did that happen? That happened because somebody came in here and thought about all that, thought about how it should be set up, and thought about how to put it together, and they put it together. How in the world can we look at creation and think that all this happened by accident? That when you consider the human eye that has over 200 movements and functions, and all that happened by accident? When you think of the fact that it amazes me, and that this is my testimony, how that I could have holes in my leg a half inch deep and almost the size of a quarter, and yet and still over a period of 6 weeks, the flesh come back in and the skin grow over it. And you tell me there's not a God somewhere? Man couldn't have thought of anything like that. And so when I run into people that say that there's no God, then I tell them, you know what? The Bible says that there's a special day for you. April 1st. The fool have said in his heart. You know, and it kills me now. And let me talk to the young people for a second, or you get this message. How in the world these young folk go off to college and sit under these knucklehead professors who begin to tell them that God didn't create this, we all evolved, that, you know, there's no creator, this all happened by accident, you know, that there's no divine mind behind this, but this all just kind of osmos into existence. And then they come back and they begin to question their faith. And that, why is it the day that, I mean, I'm sure that there are other reasons. I'm sure there are other reasons. But I think that one of the key reasons why so many young people are stepping away from the church is because they're being told in some shape or form that God does not exist or God does not create. And they begin to swallow the Kool-Aid and believe it. And yet and still the scripture says, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. And then lastly, what does the fool believe? The fool believes in rejecting those who want to help him. The person that needs the help the most rejects the help. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. That when you rebuke a fool, he hates you. That his strife is stirred up against you. That when you try to amend, reconcile, make things better, that the scorner hates you even more. That a wise man, if you present something to them, then they will love you. Loving being corrected. Do you hate reproof? I'll tell you what, you know, as a pastor, man, you gotta have thick skin. You can't have thin skin as a pastor, all right? Because there's always some kind of rebuke or some criticism. And to be honest with you, this is my rule. I consider the critic. That's my number one rule. I consider the critic. And if it's a person I know that's spending time with God, if it's a person I know that loves the Lord and has the best interests of God at heart, then I have a tendency a little bit more to receive it. Because it says here, a wise man, rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. But if somebody is walking with God and they love the Lord and God puts something in their spirit, then I think it behooves us to listen to what they have to say and consider it. And not just to blow them off. Because if we blow them off, then we're being a fool. Scripture says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner, a fool, heareth not rebuke. Can't receive it. You know, when we get to the point where we are not in a receiving mode, then we become a fool. Because there's something that all of us can learn from somebody. And then Proverbs 15, 12, a scorner or a fool loveth not the one that reproves him. He begins to hate the person. You know, that's why sometimes, you know, even in the body of Christ, this whole issue of reconciliation can become a little nasty. You know, even though the scripture calls us to reconciliation, it becomes a little nasty because what happens if, you know, people don't see eye to eye on things, then it flares up. And instead of the situation getting better, you know, it says here, a scorner loveth not the one that reproves. That now, you know, now there's bigger issues because people might not be in a receptive mood. And so the fool rejects not only the advice and the help of somebody that wants to help him, but the fool begins to even reject the person itself. Then they don't want to be around the other person. Why? because they've been rebuked or they've been challenged. All right. So, you know, as we look at this message today, you know, we all have to ask ourselves the question, is there any part of foolishness that touches my life? And, you know, I'll be the first one to say, as I look at this, I know there's some areas in here that touch my life. And I have to, you know, go to the Lord and ask him to help me to be wise and to live a life of wisdom. You know, there's one thing that I understand, you know, as being a Christian, you know, for over 30 years, being a pastor for almost 30 years, you know, there's one thing I understand that, you know, I'm not going to stop struggling. I don't know about you. Maybe y'all, some of y'all got it together, all right? And praise God for you. You know, I thank God for you. If you got it all together and you're all right. But I find that there's some things I'm going to struggle with to the day that I go to my grave, you know? And, you know, and one of them is sometimes, you know, just think about this. All of us are one act away from being a fool. You know, I mean, it amazes me. As I look at what's going on in our society today with actors and politicians, you know, and what happens to them, you know, by something that you say, you can ruin your whole testimony. You can ruin your life. You are one act away from being a fool. That's why, man, every day we should be on our face before God, help asking him to help us live. I wonder, you know, people who have made decisions that some of these leaders have made, some of these actors have made, some of these entertainers have made. You know, just think about what's going on. Man, actors punching people out, you know, and with cameras, politicians in all kind of immorality, athletes taking all type of enhancement, performing drugs. Oh, just look at our society today. And I wonder in my heart if somewhere, if they would have just stopped, and if they were Christians, or and maybe that's why it's happening, because they're not. But I'm just saying, if as a Christian, you stop and you start out your day and say, Lord, guide my feet today. Lord, don't let me make any foolish decisions today. Lord, help me to walk straight on today. Lord, make me sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If there's something in my life that I'm going to say, that I'm going to do, that's going to ruin my testimony. Lord, help me today. I mean, at least have that intention of starting out that way. Because there's a whole lot of folk that's going down. You know, I think about the crisis that we as a church went through years ago. I was being accused of all kind of things. I mean, I was accused of all kind of things, unbelievable things. And just thank God that none of them stuck. And it very easily could have. If that had been wrong, man, people was looking for dirt on me. They was looking for dirt. And they searched high and low. And they wrote letters to churches. They wrote letters to the congregation, about stuff that I was letting go on. That's why we got to be careful, man. I mean, we got to walk, as Psalm 15 says, uprightly. And I understand that. I understand that about myself. I understand that I'm a bad decision, a bad word, a bad act away. And so, man, it's just constantly you have to keep stay focused on God and exercise wisdom in your life. So as we come today, don't be a fool. Don't allow foolishness to wreck your life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Three Signs of a Thankful Heart. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, What the Fool Believes, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What the Fool Believes. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request What the Fool Believes. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.